Welcome back to Lost Legacies. I'm Matt.
And I'm Sam.
And we're back talking about season 3, episode 2 of Lost, the episode that just couldn't get recorded. This is like our third time trying to record this episode because of scheduling and stuff. You know how life is, guys.
Mm-hmm. So life happens.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the end of season 2, we were starting episodes talking about like what we're watching and stuff, but we're recording this so far ahead of time. Like, we're still watching the same things we were talking about in season 2. So I know. I got really nothing to talk about what I'm watching recently, Sam. What about you?
No, not really. Watching the Spider-Man movies, getting ready for No Way Home. That's about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we're pre No Way Home.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, okay. So people who are listening to us, you know, I hope
no
it's
spoilers.
Out well. Yeah, no spoilers.
Unless we've already seen it, but
yeah,
it's weird talking to people in the future.
Yeah, they know so much,
And so they know so much more than us. Kind of like
they're others.
Ooh.
Is that your transition into?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking about pretty good. Yeah. Now you don't patronize me. That sucks, Sam.
Hey, I just said I know pretty it. Good. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it's pretty. It sucked pretty bad. We're talking about season 3, episode 2, The Glass Ballerina. Saeed plays with Sun and Jin's lives as he plans on ambushing the others. That was very vague. But yo, dude, we made it. It finally happened. I was told my whole life that it's an impossible task, but Sun officially made it out of the friend zone. Now let's be honest here. Okay, I'm being sarcastic. I hate the term friend zone. It was created by people who couldn't get laid. Let me tell you, Sun's getting laid in this episode. We start off and she's hooking up with that guy from last time. I don't remember his name. The one who they were supposed to like go on a date with and maybe be in an arranged marriage, but then he was like, oh, I'm actually in love with this woman from America. And then season 2 came and he's like, oh, never mind. It didn't work. Let me tutor you in English. And he started falling in love with her. And she's like, nah, it's good. Mm-hmm. And then season 3, here we are, you know, bygones have been bygones. I don't know.
Well, they bygoned all right.
They bygoned. All right. Yeah. Ooh, man. What do you think about this episode?
I honestly don't know. This was an interesting episode. I felt like just as things were finally getting good, like through the whole episode, like, okay, yeah, we're finally in it. We're finally getting good. It was over.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Okay. It just felt like a really long setup to something. And I still don't know what.
You talk about everything on the island or...
Yeah, I'm kind of talking about everything. I'm talking about everything with Jack Hayden Sawyer, everything with Sun. I don't know. It just felt like setup, felt like precursor to something else. And I'm like, oh, okay. I still think it was a good episode. I don't understand how these flashbacks are working, because for most of the episode we're getting Jin's flashbacks and yet Sun is the one who gets us into the flashback.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
that's true. That was very confusing. That's something I was confused about as well. Like, Jin doesn't know, right?
No,
it's just that Sun's dad set him up to take out the guy sleeping with Jin's wife.
Mm.
But he doesn't tell him.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't tell him because it's not his place. He doesn't feel like it's his place. But he goes so far to say that, you know, call Jin his son.
Oh, and you know it works. It works on Jin. Yeah.
And that his shame is Jin's shame. So it's like it's pretty twisted. But I'm just kind of like, because it feels like this is Sun's episode, but then more than half the flashback is Jin. And yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
And that's not a problem. But I think the issue is the on-island stuff doesn't seem like Jin's story at all.
Yeah.
It very much feels like Sun, and like she's reflecting and thinking back on that, especially because now she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So Sun's definitely reflecting back and thinking about that guy now that she's pregnant and all that stuff. Jin isn't, although Jin does mention, I know you betrayed me or something. But was he talking about how Sun just took Saeed's side instead of his own?
I think so.
Like, it was just something petty like that. Like, there's a lot of things going on at once. I wasn't really sure. And I think this is one of those cases where there is the language barrier for the audience as well. Like, we know what's going on, but there's a lack of communication between the characters where usually we know that provides drama. But in this case, we understood everything that's being said, but we were still confused by the lack of communication because one guy in the cast doesn't speak English. I think this is the first time they kind of failed us with Sun and Jin as far as the dialogue goes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I don't know. And sidebar, last time we talked about Sun's episode, you said, no, I don't think she's going to sleep with that guy. So what do you think now?
I hate to be wrong.
Well, yeah.
I hate to be wrong. You know? But
her
again,
father catches her.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah. There really isn't much to talk about in the flashbacks.
I'm mostly just confused about the glass ballerina bit. Because that comes up super early. And
that's like the first scene. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first scene. Like, a glass statue of a ballerina shatters and little Sun sees it. She's in the room where it happens. And then she takes off. And then her dad pretty much like throws it in her face and is just like, I know you did this. And she's like, no, I didn't. The maid did it. And then that never comes up again. You know?
Well, but the way the scene ends is he says, like, if you say the maid did it, I'm forced to fire her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you again, did she do it? And she's like, yes.
I guess that sort of is the through line then, because
Sun's a liar.
Well, I mean, yeah, it sets up that Sun is a liar, but then it also sets up that, like, the father is going to be forced to do something in retaliation for that. And so I guess that means that when he catches her sleeping with her tutor, that means that he's now forced to have Jin take care of, you know, take care of it. And I guess that's the through line, but it's just weird.
So is Sun the glass ballerina?
I don't know.
She's been tarnished or broken, so he has the husband go kill the guy? I don't know.
I guess. Hmm. I don't know. There were so many things that I feel like if anything, this episode just needed another draft, just one more draft. You know,
we
can really nail home everything that we're trying to do. But yeah, I don't know. So like, yeah, all in all, it was good. I do agree that, yeah, it's just like it was just a little confusing, you know, and the language barrier that's going on. It really does just create a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the entertaining kind of confusion.
Yeah. I'm also curious about the time frame as well.
Mm-hmm.
How long from this guy killing himself, jumping out of a building, to them getting on the plane?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I guess this means that, like, because Jin didn't kill this guy, Jin just beat him up and told him to leave and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
He just threw himself off the roof and landed on Jin's car. So I'm wondering if Sun thinks that Jin really did kill him. And maybe that's why she was so afraid and felt like she had to leave.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, maybe that played into it.
I think also for Jin too, like he knows he didn't kill him, but he was the instrument. He pushed it to that point.
His death is still on his hands. Yeah.
Cause Jin was dark in that first like flashback we saw of him in season one. He was dark, dark, scary place. And like, you could see, okay, like this, I guess that remains the question. Like he knows how to handle a gun for sure, but we've never actually seen him kill anyone. He inadvertently killed this guy. He caused him to commit suicide, but that wasn't his intent. He walked away thinking that guy was going to run. He just ran out a window, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people falling out of windows in this show. Cause I was just thinking of the Hurley episode where someone randomly falls out. Right. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, okay. Could Hurley have been having that conversation in South Korea at this exact time? I don't think so. I just pushing it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So yeah, it was an interesting backstory or flashbacks. It's going to be interesting to see how Jin and Sun move forward now, because it seems like they kind of rekindled everything by the end. You know, life-threatening circumstances does that. But I wonder how this is going to change, I guess, Sun. I don't know, because it still seems like Jin is kind of oblivious to everything.
Well, I mean, he does tell Sun to translate to Saeed that he understands more English than everybody thinks he does.
Right, yeah.
He might not be able to, like, understand, like, everything, but yeah, so that just kind of leads me to believe, like, okay, like he's savvy enough to know by now that he's kind of being duped, he's being led on,
right? Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping that they just sort of, like, I don't know, they take some time, you know, to show us that, like, oh yeah, by the way, after this, Jin is learning English, you know, or he's learning to be able to communicate with everybody.
Right. Yeah. As for on the island, it was a pretty simple, like, the main plot anyway was essentially they catch on pretty quick that their friends have been captured. And Saeed's being very, like, coy about it and not giving all the answers, but he's going to try and ambush the others, take two prisoner, and then try and propose a trade or something. But the whole time he's putting Sun and Jin's life at risk. Sun's all for it. Jin isn't, because he wants to protect, you know, his wife and baby. But that was essentially it. That sums up, like, that A plot. And of course the end is kind of the big climax. They send Sun to the boat, you know, to be safe. And of course the others go for the boat. So they end up in this huge shootout and Sun accidentally shoots the lady. And that's my thing. Okay. Sidebar number two, you always get these scenes with someone walking in, like, you know, I'm going to shoot you. Like, no, you're not. You're not a killer, Bob. I don't believe you do that for a second. One, how well do you really know Bob?
Yeah.
Two, how familiar is Bob with the gun? If you really know Bob as well as you think you do, you would know he's not familiar with that gun. And that's when most accidents with guns happen. Now, when it's pointed at you, statistically speaking, you're going to get accidentally shot, not Bob. He's not going to shoot himself, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, also, you're on a freaking boat. You know, like, it's just like, it's one of those TV things. You know, I'm just like, you're not a killer. No, but I might kill you accidentally.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's sort of just like, you don't know these people. You've read about them. You know, we established that last episode. They have files on Jack. So I'm gonna presume they have files on everybody who crashed. but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean anything at all, because if somebody has a gun and they don't know what they're doing, they just became the most unpredictable person on the planet, you know? So yeah, I just like,
There's no respect in the show and behind the scenes as well as writing. The others have no respect for the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they constantly belittle them and tell them like, oh, you're savages, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're animals, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the case of not just not respecting one of the survivors, not respecting gun safety,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that just kind of makes the others look foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean, look, you got shot. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a big deal. I'm not pissed about it, but I'm just like, you knew where this was going. As soon, like, chances, they're not going to kill Sun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're maybe they were going to capture her, but in that scene, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure this lady's going to die. So
my main issue is with how smart the writers want us to believe the others are.
Yeah.
That there's like, there's double meanings behind everything they say, you know, they're putting on, you know, a ruse this whole time, you know, you don't know, we're wearing fake mustaches, like all this crap. They want us to make, they want us to see how smart the others are. They outwitted Saeed because they didn't go to the fire that's on the island. They went straight for the boat. And I'm like, okay, that was a little far-fetched for me. But then it's also like, but then something stupid happens like that. Like, oh, I'm going to try and take the gun from Sun. And then Sun just shoots her.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that wasn't smart. You know?
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah. You're like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then even earlier in another storyline. So that lady, that other lady, this blonde lady tells Benjamin Linus, that we find out his full name now.
Mm-hmm.
They have a boat and he's like, I want that boat. I'm like, okay, cool. They're going for the boat.
Mm-hmm.
She tells like the jerk asshole other that they're going for the boat. Okay. And she gives him a kiss and I'm like, yep. Okay. One of them is dying.
Mm-hmm.
They've established, as Sawyer's even watching, they've established that those two are in a relationship. One of them is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like it, like they, to quote Black Dynamite, who saw that coming? I mean, you saw where that came from.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. Another other down.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you think about it, the survivors are really, they're you know, carving those hatches off on their bedposts, man. They're killing others left and right, even if it's by accident.
Yeah. I mean, there's only been,
they haven't killed any of the survivors. Well, oh. Ethan killed a few.
Ethan killed one.
Yeah, he killed one. That's right.
He killed Steve or Scott.
Yeah.
Arts is gone.
Yeah, but he didn't get killed by the others.
Well, yeah, but I'm just now I'm counting down. Okay, who from the survivors are down? Steve or Scott, Arts, and Boone. So that's three. And I feel like more of the others have been killed.
Oh, possibly. I'm not going to go try and count it, but
what are we doing here then?
The thing is, like, the island has killed most of those people you just mentioned. The only ones the others have really killed was Scott or Steve.
That's true.
So regardless of the count, I'm pretty sure the survivors have killed more others.
Yeah.
Which, right. I mean, that's I guess that's why they're pissed off, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's weird. I like the others as a concept. I think they're having trouble sticking to landing. So we'll see how many more end up getting killed. We'll see. So Jack took a sideline this episode, mm-hmm. which was good because last episode was Jack's episode. It was Jack heavy.
Yeah.
So he had a little talk with Ben, but I'm pretty sure we'll talk about that scene at the end because it's pretty crazy. But the rest of the episode was Sawyer and Kate just doing manual labor.
Yeah.
I guess trying to get the lay of the land. Like, I'm pretty interested, not interested, just it's I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because last week Ben mentions these next 2 weeks, Kate, will not be pleasant. Like, oh God, you know, oh geez, what are they going to do to them?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just have them do manual labor, which sucks for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, what is this? What kind of mind game are they playing? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, what is this? Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too, especially because, like, who are these other people that are also doing manual labor?
Yeah, I'm like, are they all others? Like, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. Because it feels like there are others who have guns that are guards and stuff, mm-hmm. whatever.
But which, yeah, Sawyer did disarm quite easily. And mm-hmm. he mentions that too. He's like, I don't think any of them have actually seen real action. Trouble or combat action. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. And when he grabbed the taser and it didn't work, I was like, oh, does it only work on them? Does it? But then he was like, oh,
Judge
no,
Dredd?
it's a safety. I was like, oh yeah, that makes more sense, because my mind was instantly like, oh, they took their blood at some point. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, what if it's a thing inside of, they have like nanobots and whatever.
They're all vampires. Oh God.
The safety's on. Like, oh
yeah.
Yeah. That makes way more sense.
I think it's so cool. Well, okay. This is one of the things that is just kind of, it's just dumb and frustrating. Like, they literally can't do anything without that one guy just yelling and shouting. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
are you gonna do something? Okay, finally he tasers Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens again later. I'm just like, there's no, the threats don't seem real, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I think we're setting people up to think we didn't enjoy this episode. We really did. It's just a lot of the details were kind of like fuddled.
Yeah.
I still think last episode was better, but
I'll say this, like after that fantastic season opener,
mm-hmm.
for me at least, this one was a little disappointing. I did enjoy it, but yeah, it's just like it kind of feels weird, because especially in season two, we got like 4 or 5 episodes in a row where we were like, oh man, this is firing, they're going mm-hmm. on all cylinders, mm-hmm. like this is great, this is fantastic. And then here it's like, oh wow, like I don't want to say they've already lost steam, but
it kind of feel like it did. Yeah. Like, I feel like everything just slowed down. Like,
it was a big sidestep after that big leap that the mm-hmm. opening had. It was like, whoa, this is cool. Oh, okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I think all of the ideas are there, and it does set up a lot of interesting interactions, like the one that Kate had
with Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Alex, who we think is Russo's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's like, don't talk to me. She's like hiding in a bush. And it turns out Kate's wearing her dress. Mm-hmm. But she's looking for the other guy in the cage.
Yeah.
Carl, right? Is that what they named him? Carl?
I think his name was Carl.
She didn't say why, but she's looking for Carl, who mm-hmm. tried to escape and got his face busted in.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
It happens, man. Yeah, that was really interesting. So Kate's like, what? Okay, I'm gonna start breaking more rocks. But after that, Sawyer's big plan to, he wasn't trying to escape, he was definitely measuring the defenses of the others.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the raptors testing the fences. They never hit the same spot twice.
Mm-hmm.
They remember. Anyway, which was also filmed in Hawaii, so it's loosely related.
This is Jurassic Park for people who don't know.
Oh, did I not say that? Oh,
no.
I just assumed people knew, you know.
Everybody knows every square inch of
the. I wasn't talking about the
Jurassic Park.
Toronto Raptors? Who are the Raptors? I don't remember. It's a team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so anyway, so his big plan to to do it includes him just like checking out Kate, working hard, sweating. I mean, she's beautiful, yeah, but Sawyer's like having a moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, screw it. He throws his stuff down, like, just like a movie. Just like what's that movie? Hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin James throws the inhaler. Sawyer just like tosses the wheelbarrow and he just goes and takes Kate and kisses her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she's in it, man. Like, she, like, that was romantic. That's mm-hmm. straight out of like a Southern romance novel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The sundress, the dashing rogue, yeah, physical labor, yeah, it was all there. And then that's what that's what pisses ever the others off, and they go like tase him and they start fighting mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But I love how that was his big plan. Mm-hmm. And I discuss it at the end too. Like, she's like, what were you thinking? And he tells her, he's like, the little tasers, there's mm-hmm. there's a safety. Most of the others don't really know what they're doing, like fighting wise, mm-hmm. doesn't think they've seen action. So he, like, he's, it's kind of cool to see the smart side of Sawyer, which kind of gets forgotten for large chunks of the season,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I feel like just because of where the others put everybody last episode, they 100% just underestimate Sawyer. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
About
we
how
did.
They put him in a cage because he's a dumb hick redneck. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, he's just stupid. So they put him in the polar bear cage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. And then they have him doing manual labor with Kate. And, you know, they're just treating him like he's a body, you know. And then yeah. when Sawyer comes out and starts telling Kate everything that he noticed, it's like, yep. There we go. That's the con man.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's playing into the idea that, like, oh yeah, I'm stupid. Like, I'm reckless. And then it's like, no, but he's learning. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. I did. Yeah. So it's such a good move mm-hmm. for Sawyer. Oh yeah. She says, like, what did you learn? And that's when he explains everything. And he ends with, also, you taste like
strawberries.
And she, like, all blushes and stuff. She's like,
she's like, like, yeah,
fish biscuits.
Fish biscuits.
I'm like, dude, this show is like forcing these two together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I think, like you said, this probably needed one more draft to really hit it home. But at the same time, I feel like everything is setting up for something. You know, episode one kind of set the tone, kind of brought in new mysteries. And now this episode was a real change of pace, slowed down a lot. But I feel like, okay, we're starting to see the seeds. Like, everything was a seed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Sawyer and Kate, they're going to plan to escape, which is kind of how the episode ends, with Ben listening in on their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything with Carl. Okay, who's this Carl kid that Alex is looking for? Who's Alex? Like, we're assuming, like, we've been led to believe this is Russo's kid.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that play in? She's with the others, but also sneaking around from the others. So there's all these little seeds that are being planted. So even though the episode itself was meh, okay, I think there's a lot of storylines that have just started with mm-hmm. this episode. Also, the others, even though they lost one, they did get the boat. And now Sun, Jin, and Saeed have to hike across the island again. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But then the big kind of revelation, kind of climax moment, was the last scene
mm-hmm.
where I loved it. I love that Ben goes to talk to Jack and even says, like, this is really funny. 1 week ago, we were in reverse positions.
You know? I thought it as soon as he put the chair down, and I was like, he's probably "You don't have say to it. Say it." Ben, and then he said it. I was
he
like,
likes to hear himself talk.
I know. He's. It's really interesting. Like in a show like this, the writers have really managed to create like a kind of really good Bond villain.
Dude, I know, and he does say, I don't know if Jack asks him something or he just says it, but he says, my name is Benjamin Linus. I grew up on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I'm like, yes, this explains it. He doesn't really understand or comprehend the social graces of like the real world. Because mm-hmm. he's been on this island. Sure, I'm probably surrounded by people. But that's why he's so weird and kind of twisted. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Even if he's not trying to be like, he just his norm isn't our norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I thought that was when he said that, I was like, ooh, give me chills. Like, man, what happens to a kid who grows up on this island? You know?
Mm-hmm. Apparently you become Benjamin Linus.
Benjamin Linus, yeah. But yeah, he starts talking to Jack and I forget like how does it get brought up, but he ends up showing him the video the TV. How does it like how does it happen?
I think he says something along the lines of like, if you cooperate with us, we'll take you home.
Yeah.
And then Jack kind of scoffs at that. And then Ben is like, no, like we have a way we can communicate mm-hmm. with the outside world. And he kind of starts listing things that have happened.
Yeah.
And Jack doesn't believe him.
Cause Jack doesn't believe him. He even says, he's like, oh, I'm going to go home. Like Walt and Michael. And mm-hmm. Ben's like, yeah, we did. We sent them home. Jack doesn't believe it. And Jack says, I think you're just stuck here like the rest of us and you can't leave. And that's when Ben starts going off. He's like, he basically knows everything. Your flight was Oceanic Flight 815. You left this, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. He starts mentioning everything. George Bush. Oh, because, yeah, in universe, it's still November 2004.
Mm-hmm. So the things he says in order is like, your country reelected George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Reeve died.
Oh, yeah.
And the Boston Red Sox won the World Series.
Uh-huh.
And that's what tips Jack off. Like, insane. Like, the Boston Red Sox, really? And then that's when he turns on the TV to show him the World Series where the Red Sox win.
Yeah. But can we just take a step out into the real world for a second and talk about mm-hmm. how freaking meta and crazy that is?
That's really crazy.
They wrote that and built it into the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then it actually happened in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whoa, that's some lost magic right there. Listeners, if you don't remember, that's what Jack's dad would always say. That's why the Sox can't win the pennant. And basically Jack interpreted it as his dad just making an excuse. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be like this, just like the Sox will never win the World Series. That's mm-hmm. just the way it is. So the fact that Jack watches the winning run on the TV and he finds out that the Sox won, I'm like, oh man. Mm-hmm. So that really hits home for him. And what does Ben tell him? He basically says, you know, cooperate and you can go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's kind of where it ends, right?
Yeah.
So Jack has some options here.
Yeah.
What's he playing at? So this episode, they did mention the date, November 29th, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been on the island 69 days. This is one of those moments where all the fans are like, okay, let's get our timelines right and all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
hang on really quick. How long have they been there? How many days?
69. How could you forget that?
Nice.
I even thought of that when he said it. I was like, that should be the title of the episode. Nice. Dude, speaking of a nice moment, when the others, they first take Sawyer and Kate to the field to go start, you know, digging. And Kate says, you expect me to work wearing in a dress? And the guy says, well, you can always take it off if you want. And Sawyer just gives her like this look, like, well,
like he's right. Like, yeah, he's right. Got a point.
And she gives him that stern look and he looks at the other guy. How dare you? Dude, I laughed so hard, man. It's like, oh, dude.
Damn it, Sawyer.
Damn it. Damn problematic redhead that we... Not redhead, redneck that we can't stop loving.
Mm-hmm.
He's cool, and he does have a heart of gold, I think.
Somewhere.
It's under all that dirt and grime he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. that's pretty much the episode.
Yeah. It was cool. Thoughts? I like what you said. I like what you said. It makes me rethink how I feel about it. What you said about this episode really planted a lot of seeds for yeah. what's coming, you know, and all the things mm-hmm. that are happening. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. I guess what I wished was that, like, with that ending, I was like, oh man, we're already at the end. Like, no, like, I want to know more.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely saved the best for last.
What's gonna happen to Sun and Jin? What's gonna happen to Kaden Sawyer? What's yeah. Jack gonna do? And then
I think it's cool because last episode it was Jack, Kaden Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now we jump to Saeed, Sun and Jin with a little of the others. So we still haven't been to the beach yet, and we're mm-hmm. done with two episodes yet. So mm-hmm. I like that they're taking their time with it. It feels different than typical Lost. We're like, no, we're just not going to answer that. Yeah. We're touching that in like 10 episodes. Yeah. You know, this definitely feels like, okay, they're taking their time to build up the scenario and also the world. They're doing world building because they're starting. We're actually in the other's world now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that's, I'm glad they're kind of taking their time. I just, you don't have to slow down the plot to take your time, you know?
Yeah.
That's what this week felt like, which was actually weird because next week's episode was filmed before this one.
Ooh.
So I don't know why they switched it. My theory, and I brought this up last time, is because next week they kind of build that as the 50th episode.
Mm.
Even though now it's not seen that way anymore because we're going by hours instead of installments.
Mm-hmm.
But originally that was kind of like the 50th. So I wonder if that's why they flipped it.
Probably.
Because there really wasn't anything special about this episode to be the 50th.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers, not saying that there's anything special about the next one, but you know, we'll see.
Confirmed. It's going to change everything.
It's going to change everything. I mean, just the way we're going right now, we're slowly introducing more and more of the main cast back into the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming there's going to be more of the main cast next week. But before we get to that, theories. Predictions.
Ooh. I don't really have any yet.
Not yet. It's pretty much all the same that we like mentioned last time.
Yeah.
All right. So MVPs for this week.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure if I have one.
I like Sun and Jin, but again, it wasn't really anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This has been happening more recently where we're like, I don't know who to give it to. Like, there was no one really who like deserves it. Like, they all did a good job. There was no bad jobs, but there was nothing that really stood out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a Lost episode. Everybody's doing great. Like, that's kind of it. Like, the MVP is for the standout, you know, who alone, you know, amongst everybody else gave it their all this week and came out on top. And that kind of just didn't seem like
actually, anybody did this week. You know week. Who I will give it to?
Who will you give it to?
Josh Holloway. Because I think for an episode that doesn't focus on Sawyer, he stole every single scene he was in.
Okay.
And like, he's really, I don't know if this is like part of the other's plan or what, but like Sawyer, just in these two episodes, he's really become like a rock for Kate, you know? And I really dig that. Yeah. Even if he doesn't really realize it, you know, and the responsibilities that come with that, but like, he's really like the source of comfort or safety with her, and I really kind of dig seeing that side. I dig seeing that side of him. So I'm gonna give it to Josh Holloway.
All right, I like it.
Well, I guess that's it. So next week we're moving on, and we're talking about season 3, episode 3. Further instructions, in which the fate of Locke, Echo, and Desmond is revealed.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just, you know, warning out there, like pretty much everywhere I saw, like the description of the next episode kind of has spoilers in it.
Okay.
You know.
Well, yeah. the thing popped up, you know, like the mm-hmm.
Like it the says next episode John Locke Q. talks to his alien captors.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like, but the image popped up for the next episode on Hulu and there was Locke's face, and I was like, Locke's gonna be in it. Yeah. So
Hulu's really kind of disappointed me on that because I just kind of skimmed ahead to the next seasons. It's mm-hmm. like, there are some spoilers like in those episode images.
Oh, geez.
That promote the show. And I checked Amazon Prime. It's the exact same thing. And it's the exact same description. I'm like, you rat bastards. Who the hell wrote these?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the idea is that, you know, if people are going to watch these shows on streaming, they're going to binge it. And so that means you don't have to go back to the main menu to look at that.
That's true. I think it also makes people want to get like excited to watch the next one.
Yeah. 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 And especially it's like, if you know, fans of the show are like, oh yeah, it's on Hulu. Let's go watch it. You know, let's do our favorite episode or something like that. Like they're going to, you know, they can go and click. And I think that's what those images are for. Yeah. Like to
I'm not saying the next episode is going to be your favorite. Not at all. That's not what Sam means, okay? It's not going to be your favorite. Or maybe it is. Who knows?
Or maybe it is. Who knows?
Yeah.
We are talking to people from the future, so maybe you know if this is my favorite episode.
Oh, God.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Are we still doing this podcast when you're listening?
God, I hope so. I hope we make it into 2022.
Well, I mean, if they're listening to this episode like in January, I hope we make it, but if they're listening in January like 2050, I'm like, oh man, Whoa. Are we still watching Lost? How long geez. Is this show?
How many breaks are we gonna take?
I know. Oh man, I figured we would at least be on the 100 by now. So I think that's it for now, guys. As always, you can find me on Twitter at _MattJimenez and on Instagram at Holy Hand Grenade of Antioch.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real, that's R-E-E-L, Texas Weirdo.
And don't forget to use the Lost Legacies hashtag. We're just dying to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding no questions.
Yep.
So go ahead, tweet it. Tweet some questions and we'll get back to you in like 4 to 8 weeks. So, because that's how far ahead we are in our schedule. Mm-hmm. All right. Love you guys. Everyone, take care. Have fun and
get lost.